It's always a thrill to be in IBC. Well, it is for me. It is a thrill to be in IBC. Okay, great. I wanted to make a brief announcement before I begin, and I'm trying to say it a bit slower. I've been told by the translators that I talk too slow. I mean, too fast, pardon me, yeah? And it isn't easy when it's been all, in fact, you know, my ministry has been mostly in Spanish. I'm a Spanish speaker. And when I get going in Spanish, it's even worse. But anyway, pray for me, dear brethren. I don't want the translator to suffer. They do a great job, and I'll try to speak a bit slower. The announcement. Next week I won't be here, but it's not because the council has run me out of town. That's not the point. As you know, I was serving in Costa Rica for many years before coming here. And I have to go back, and I have to appoint elders. And I'm still a pastor, kind of by Skype. It's kind of crazy. But I need to go back and appoint elders, then I'm sifini. You know, I'm finished with all of that, right? And then I go to Mexico City. We have ministry there as well. So we'll be gone the month of February. But we've got some great preachers for you in store. So nothing's going to change. We're going to go ahead, and I'll be back the first Sunday of March speaking, no, I don't promise that, but I'm trying to speak slowly, okay? But you know, when the spirit gets in your bones, how can you talk slowly? I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. I hope I do. All right. Now, we've been on a series of messages that have to do with living for the glory of God. You know, that's your purpose, right? The highest calling of mankind is to live, to honor, and glorify God. Amen? And we've been seeing different things that can impede or can stop that purpose. We saw, for example, worry. We saw self-pity. Last week we saw resentment. And today we're going to see the area of guilt. In fact, the title today is called, well, whether it comes up or not, it's still called, yeah, That Guilty Feeling. But before we see the message, I want to review our theme verse. I would be very pleased if you would go out from this series knowing, you know, auswendig, by heart, our theme verse, which is 1 Corinthians 10:31. You know, you've got to know the address, right? I can know that you live in a house, but if I don't have your address, I can't find you. And so we want to know the address for this verse, which is what? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Ready? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Let's say it one more time so we can just drive it into our hearts, okay? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I can say that faster too if you want, but that's okay, right? All right, here we go. That guilty feeling. The government tax office once received a letter from an anonymous taxpayer. It read, I have cheated on my income tax for the past 7 years, and tonight my conscience is troubling me to the point that I cannot sleep. I have enclosed 100 euros as my way of saying I'm sorry. If I find that I still can't sleep, I will send the rest of what I owe. Well, guilt plagues us all, doesn't it? And you know, it's been a problem from the very beginning of mankind. You recall Adam and Eve. They were hiding from God, right? Because they had sinned and they felt what? They felt guilty. Recall that when the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, Jesus looked at them and said, okay, the one who has not sinned, may he cast the first stone. And solely, what happened? They went away because they felt guilty. Guilt is something that plagues us truly. I read about, this is a true thing, some famous playwright called Noel Coward. He pulled an interesting prank. He sent an identical note to 20 of the most famous men in London and said the following. If any one of you, he said the following. Everybody has found out what you are doing, and if I were you, I would get out of town. And you know something? According to the story, they all got out of town. Well, now, what would happen if you got that note? Dan, everybody knows what you've done. If I were you, I'd go to Costa Rica. I have a way out, right? Well, you know, What would race through your mind if you got a note like that? Perhaps the income you failed to report on the tax form. The time you spent on the internet watching pornography. The expense account that you overinflated. Or the lies you told about maybe somebody. Or the misrepresentation of facts that you informed a potential client. Anyway, there's many different things, right? But you know, I don't even have to have such big things to feel guilty. I can feel guilty just because I didn't mow the lawn for the fourth week in a row. Or when I eat something that I shouldn't have eaten. That happens a lot, right? All the people said, right? Or if I go to bed too late, oh, how come I stayed up, you know? And I can feel guilty. And you can too. And so because guilt haunts us all, and because guilt keeps us from growing, from living to the glory of God, we want to get into this topic, okay? Are you ready? There we go. First point, how do we handle guilt? Well, you know that guilt is a feeding of worry or unhappiness because you've done something you know is wrong, okay, right? Or you've caused someone harm and you feel badly about it. There can be a sense of shame. There can be a loss of awareness of God's presence. You can feel condemned. You might feel depressed, or even you might feel a type of self-hatred. And these are very unpleasant emotions. No one likes guilt. And so we have ways of dealing with guilt. I'm going to give you three examples that are very common. Okay? Three. First of all, some people rationalize guilt. You know what it means to rationalize? That means to what? Find excuses, right? To justify, oh, well, you know, the devil made me do it or something like that, right? It's behavior that we try to justify. For example, the newspaper reported a man who was arrested for stealing a car that was parked at a cemetery. Now, notice the rationalization. The man said, well, because the car was parked at the cemetery, I assumed that the driver was dead. Or, for example, somebody put on their insurance claim, it said, a truck backed through my windshield into my wife's face. Thank you. Or one other person said, in my attempt to kill a fly, I drove into a telephone pole. Funny things. Many ways that we try, anyway, to justify or to rationalize our mistakes. And I wonder what God thinks of our attempts to rationalize, right? To find excuses for our bad behavior. There's another way that we try to cope with guilt, and that is that we try to deny it. People deny their guilt. You recall King Saul in the Old Testament. God had told him through Samuel to destroy everything in a certain neighboring tribe or people there. All the animals he was to destroy. And when he did it, when they went and defeated this particular nation, Saul saw all this cattle. And he started calculating the worth of the cattle. And he thought, I can't destroy that. What a waste. And so later when Samuel comes, Saul says, oh, I've done the will of God. And so Samuel says, what is this bleating of the sheep I hear in my ears? And he felt guilty. And so he said, well, you know, I really wanted to use this cattle to praise and to glorify God. But really what he was doing was denying that he was guilty. He was saying, no, I did that because, you know, it's a good reason. Partly rationalizing, but also covering up his guilt. And we have many ways that we do ways that we attempt to overcome our guilt by simply denying it. And some people run from their guilt. We feel guilty. We don't know what to do with it. And so we just take off, right? For example, bars. Bars are full of people who are running from their guilt. Doesn't work, does it? It works just maybe that night. You can forget maybe, but no more. You know, Judas. Remember Judas in the Bible? His guilt, because of his guilt, he ended up on the end of a rope. Jonah, the prophet Jonah, ended up in the belly of a fish running away from guilt. Peter, when he denied his Lord, he ended up back in a fishing boat, running away. But the problem with running from our guilt is that it follows us wherever we go. It doesn't matter where we go, there is our guilt. Hello, right? We cannot drink our guilt away. We cannot hide our guilt. And until we take care of our guilt, we are going to keep struggling with it. Now, before we talk about how to manage our guilt, because we all have guilt, okay, in different degrees. But I want to talk about one topic here that's very important. That's our second major point, which is the question, should I have felt guilty? That is distinguishing between true and false guilt. There is false guilt, right? I think many times in my life I have been so guilty feeling, but then if you analyze it, I really wasn't guilty. We need to differentiate both of these types of guilt. So how do I know the difference between real guilt and imagined guilt? And for this, we have to distinguish between the fact of guilt and the feeling of guilt, okay? Fact of guilt on one side, feeling of guilt on the other. Now, the fact of guilt exists whenever you violate the Word of God. When you do something you shouldn't have done, or you don't do something that you should have done, you're guilty. You may not feel guilty. That doesn't matter. There are criminals, because of their years in that their activities, they no longer have much of a conscience, and they don't feel guilty when they do things. But they are guilty, all right? So that's the fact of guilt. Now, the feeling of guilt is different. And here, don't lose me now, okay? We have to distinguish between authentic guilt feelings and false guilt feelings. Now, if you do something wrong, you know you're guilty, and it affects your feelings, right? Those are authentic guilt feelings. I'm going down the highway where it says, 60, and I'm going at 100, and I'm looking through my rear view mirror if I see a cop, right? I feel, is that guilt genuine or is that imagined? No, that's real. The Holy Spirit works in your life, and he uses guilt to make you turn around, to come back to God, and to get your act together, right? That's very important. But there's also false guilt when we feel guilty for inadequate reasons. And I go into this, dear brethren, because I myself have struggled a lot in my life with feeling guilty for inadequate reasons. I grew up in a family where my dad was extremely perfectionistic and always demanded that I have a real high, do everything perfect, right? And you know something? I didn't. No one does everything perfect. But I always felt guilty because I didn't do things perfectly. Now, was that real guilt? Well, in the sense that I felt it was real, but it really was a false guilt. Let me give you some examples of false guilt. Some Christians feel guilty because they are tempted. Ooh, that was so attractive. You know what temptation is? It's like a magnet, right? Here's a magnet, right? And the fact that you feel that, you feel guilty. Now, is temptation in and of itself a sin? Jesus was tempted, and Jesus never sinned. So it's not, temptation in itself is not a sin. It's giving into sin, that into temptation, that is the sin. Others feel guilty because of mistakes, not deliberate wrongdoing, but everyday human error. Oh, I should have remembered my mother's birthday. What a terrible daughter I am. Or, well, other things of that sort that are not really moral problems, but they're simple things that we, mistakes that we make. And we all make these mistakes, right? Oh, I told him I'd call him, and I didn't do it. I promised to call, I didn't. Oh, now I didn't do it because I meant to be evil. I just simply forgot it, right? And the older I get, the more I have that problem. But anyway, that's not a moral problem, okay? So that's false feelings of guilt. Or we already mentioned the matter of feeling guilty because you don't do enough. Well, my father was a perfectionist, or was, and guess what? He passed it on, right? Thanks for the, whatever, thanks for the blessing. But anyway, and so, I always have that problem of thinking I haven't done enough. You go to bed at night and think, I know a mother was telling me, I go to bed every night and I feel guilty. I haven't been a good mother today. Wow. That's a terrible pressure. And she hasn't been a bad mother. She just wasn't a perfect mother. And I'm still looking for the perfect mother. They don't exist. And finally here, Christians often feel guilty because they think about their past before they were saved. Many of you have come from very, very difficult backgrounds. And sometimes I think, wow, I complain about my situation. And I hear the problems people have come from. And I think, Lord, thank you for saving these people. But you can think, I was such a terrible person before coming to Christ. And you have guilt. And that leads to shame. And shame becomes the base of your existence. And out of shame comes all sorts of self-defeating and dysfunctional behavior. Self-blaming, self-shaming. I'm trying to say these solely. Codependency, addiction, obsessive compulsive behavior, and so forth, right? Wow. You know, all of these examples have in common that they're very self-focused. That's the problem with false guilt. Maybe there's no real reason to be, you know, firm reason to be guilty, but you start looking into yourself. You start judging yourself. You start putting yourself down. And you start focusing on your horrible sins rather than on God. I find that false guilt in my own life has often been somewhat of a nebulous thing, right? I just have this feeling. And my wife would say, well, Dan, my wife's much more objective, actually, than I am. Thank the Lord for objective wives. And yeah, but I just feel, you know. When there's sin, it is something that contradicts the scriptures. And we need to accept forgiveness and move on and live for God's glory. So how do we do that? Let's go to the third major point. Relieving the pain. That's a good word, isn't it? Relieving. How do we relieve the guilt, the pain of guilt? Not the guilt of pain, but the pain of guilt. All right? We're going to be four things here. And I hope these are very practical. I hope they really help you. They've helped me. I can say today I'm a free man in this regard, having struggled much with the topic. And to be able to look into these points I want to give you, I want to take Psalm 32, okay? Psalm 32 was written by King David after he committed that terrible double crime of, well, assassination and of adultery, right? Double sin. Big, 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 big sin. And he felt very guilty and correctly so. This was real guilt. And we want to see how he dealt with it in the first five verses of Psalm 32 and take those principles and apply them to our lives, all right? Here we go. Number one. I should say before we read that, he says previously, okay, no, this is it. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. That's the way David felt. Some of you have felt that way. Some of you may feel today that way. Dan, if you only knew what I've done, if you only knew how I feel, I'm overwhelmed. Well, then this psalm is for you. So, the first answer is to focus on God's grace, not your guilt. Now, I love some of these songs we were singing, right? About God's grace. Don't forget what grace is. We talked, I think it was last week or week before last, about mercy. Mercy is when you don't give a person what they deserve, okay? A parent. The child deserves punishment of some sort because you told them, right? And then you decide, no, I won't give it to you. That's mercy. But when the son or the daughter sins and they deserve something, but you not only do you not give them what they deserve, but you give them a gift. That's grace. Grace is to give you what you don't deserve, okay? And God gives us grace abundantly, and that's why we need to focus upon that and not upon our guilt. Look, notice this verse, the first verse of Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. He's rejoicing because he knows that he has received God's grace. And he's just delighted, happy as he can be, because he has experienced God's grace. And I think that we need to focus on God's grace when we feel guilty, whether it be false guilt, true guilt, doesn't matter. We need to say, God, you're there. You love me. You give me constantly good things. That should be the center of my focus, of my interest, your grace. You know, if you don't focus on grace, dear brethren, we start focusing on condemnation, right? Whether it's justified or not. Look at this verse now. I think that's right. The point is, we have no right to condemn ourselves, okay? Because we're not under law, we're under grace. If I'm under grace, how can I condemn myself? God has given me his grace. He does it constantly all the time. So how can I condemn myself? Notice the next verse. There is therefore now no condemnation. Isn't that a wonderful term? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Reminds me of the hymn, Amazing Grace. We're going to sing that at the end, okay? But I won't go into that right now. So really, in the struggle against guilt, it's all about grace. That's what we are to focus on. As Christians, we're called to live by grace. That means setting goals that are attainable. Forget the perfectionists. It means refusing to compare ourselves with others. It means choosing to forgive ourselves daily. Oh, that's hard, isn't it, huh? Don't go to bed without forgiving yourself, because God's forgiven you. How can you not forgive yourself? If you don't forgive yourself, you have a higher standard than God. God, you forgive me? Thank you, but I can't do it. It's absurd. You should forgive yourself every day because God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. And so when I walk in grace, I also start each morning afresh instead of beating myself over the head for not achieving the humanly impossible. I remember once, years ago, talking to a friend of mine when I was in university. I was a Christian. I was a sincere Christian, but I was very frustrated. And I never quite performed like I wanted. And she said, well, you just need to accept yourself. I said, you know, I do accept myself on the basis of what I one day will be. That's what I said. Great answer, huh? What's the problem with that? Because one day I'm going to keep saying that. I'm going to be what I'm going to be, and then I'm going to be happy one day when I be. But, you know, it's crazy. No. I get up today and say, God, I have your grace. Hallelujah. And we go through the day. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I make mistakes. I make mistakes. I'm a great husband. Not always. But God is gracious. Second way to overcome guilt. Admit your guilt. Now, we've seen that we need to focus on grace, right? That helps us, gives us, you know, courage to start facing it. Now, if there is guilt, then David says in verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. You know, if you quit hiding your sin, you'll be able to confront it. And this is what we see with David. The truth is that if we don't deal with our guilt will deal with us. If we don't deal with our guilt will deal with us. For example, it may affect us psychologically. Notice this verse. David says, when I kept silence, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. David's conscience groaned before he confessed his guilt, right? That's emotional duress. It can also affect us spiritually. David says in verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. You know, sin separates from God, and he felt that in his guilt. It was a terrible time for David. It can also affect us physically. David says in verse 4 again, my strength was drained as in the summer heat. Like water that evaporates on a sunny day, that's what he felt like. He was just dried out, dying. So guilt, if we don't deal with it, can make us psychologically, spiritually, and physically kaput. Remember, some years ago in a country we worked in several countries, that a young man came to Christ, a student. I've always worked with university students. That's been always my passion. And he came to Christ and really seemed to come out for the Lord and everything. And what I found out was that he was from a very, very wealthy family, one of the wealthiest families in the country, and helicopter and the whole thing, right? But he said he was so tired of living that way because, you know, at school people made fun of him. Oh, the rich boy, you know, and so forth. So he just dressed down and he'd take public transportation and just, you know, was also very, I remember he wouldn't pay anybody's anything. He was really kind of, you know, we say in Spanish, it means equal, right? I mean, cheap anyway, wouldn't, anyway. But and we noticed that as the time went by, he kind of began to withdraw. And he was a guy he was very talented, very brilliant, but he began to withdraw. He wasn't growing in Christ. And come to find out that was all a lie. He was wonderful at lying, I must say. He was an expert, right? And he should have gone to Hollywood. And but it turns out that he was from it was a poor family. He'd had no money and so forth. And he was at the university because the university had given him a scholarship and so forth. But see, that guilt began to work on him and in him and took all of his joy away. He was then useless, and that's what guilt does. And David felt that. He was like shriveled up because of guilt. Let's go to the third of 4 points. Okay, you've admitted your guilt, then you confess your guilt. David says in verse 5, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. That's not telling God something he doesn't know, right? Ooh, I don't want to confess that. What's God going to think? What's God going to think? God knows, dude. Yeah. So he says, you know, in fact, to confess means, in Greek it's the word homologeo, which means to say the same thing. God knows it, just say it. Say the same thing that he says, right? All right, we're on the same wavelength. You're guilty. Just admit it. One of the verses I really like in this regard is one that many of us know, which is 1 John 1:9. In fact, let's read it together. I think it's often lovely to hear all these voices. Let's read 1 John 1:9. Ready? All together, please. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow! That's grace! It's speaking to people who know Jesus Christ already. And all you have to do is just confess. Confess and say, Lord, yes, you're right. I'm wrong. And on the basis of the cross of Christ, what he has done, you are forgiven. Isn't that exciting? That's wonderful. And then finally, dealing with guilt, forget your guilt. David said, and you took away the guilt of my sin. Now, forget in the sense that I no longer think about it, right? God is omniscient. We hear about God forgetting. It's not literally so because God is omniscient, but he doesn't think about our guilt anymore. It's way as his words in the deepest sea. Remember that? Now, if God doesn't think about your guilt or the things you did, but he forgives you, what right do you have to be thinking about your guilt? You know, when I grew up in Mexico City, and I remember they'd have these parades and Easter week where they'd people be walking and they'd be hitting themselves in the back, you know, doing penance, foam and bleeding and foam and a foam, you know. And that's the way we live often, right? Oh, so great. The Christian life is wonderful, you know, joyous. And come on, you know. Well, we forget it. That is, we don't remember it. Why? Because God doesn't remember it. Okay? In other words, what God has said, that's it too, should be what I say, that's it too as well. I'm not just ignoring what happened. No. In fact, I am not, I'm refusing to focus on a lie. The lie is that it's not taken care of. Right? And if God's taken care of my guilt, he's forgiven me, whether it's true or imagined, it's all taken care, then, and I keep thinking about it, I'm thinking about something that really doesn't exist. So that's foolish, isn't it? Sure it is. And that's why we say, forget your guilt. Don't think about it. Don't concentrate on it. You know, what God has done with your guilt, I'll give you an illustration. When I got my first computer, you know, and there the thing was, and it was, well, these old types, you had to have a handle, not quite that old, but you know, it was old, they put a fire, you know, had two candles and they made it go. No, but, well, it was last century, folks. It was. And so I remember that, you know, I was there and I was preparing. In fact, I was going to go to Mexico City to give a whole series of talks. And I was living in Hamburg at the time, and I left Hamburg for many years, but I came back recently. I'm here. I must have come back, right? Good. Okay. Anyway, so I remember some people bought me my first computer. Wow, you know, it was great. I was just writing away. I had done days of work, and I was so proud of myself, and I thought, this is going to be great material. And, you know, I don't know what happened. You know what happened, right? Dun-ga-ba-bum, you know. And where is that, you know? Look underneath, look on top. It was gone. All the information of days of working was kaput. And I was kaput too. I was kaputa. I mean, that was terrible. And I remember I would just, ooh. I mean, I still have hair. I pull my hair out, but not, anyway. It was gone. And there's no way of getting it back. I to this day, I don't know what I did. Obviously, I had the magic touch, right? but it was all gone. And you know, that's a good illustration of what God does with your sin. He doesn't say, okay, you want to keep that on, you know, this hard drive. So just in case Dan accepts, look at you, dude. No, he doesn't do that, okay? It's gone. That's grace. And so, you know, when you feel guilty, be sure, first of all, have I sinned? If there's if you have violated God's principles, God's commandments, confess. And once you confess, put your eyes on God's grace and don't think any more of what God has, I can't think in English, Ausgelöscht, has erased, okay? He's erased that. But just think upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, again, the answer to guilt ultimately is grace. We can be secure. We can get up in the morning and say, wow, praise be God today. This is the day that the Lord has made because we walk in grace. We were born again by grace and we walk in grace. Now, maybe you have not been born again yet in grace. And that means that Jesus came for your sin. You're a sinner. And what he wants you to do is to accept the fact that he died for your sin. You need to take that personally, seriously, and accept it. Accept him as the one who took your sin for you. When you do that, by his grace, you don't deserve it at all, one bit. He gives you his forgiveness. And you are born anew, born in your spirit as a child of God. But you know, maybe today you are just simply a Christian who needs to experience God's grace. Grace means help. Okay? You need God's grace maybe for healing. You need God's grace to get you through a situation, for sustenance, for whatever it is, you need God's grace. And I would like to finish today in a little different way. I would like to give you the opportunity to really come before the Lord and say, Lord, I just pray for you to just bathe me in your grace. All right? Just work in my life, and I want to appreciate you more, and I want to see you work in my life through your grace. I'm going to ask we have some prayer partners that are here every Sunday. They stand in the back, but they're going to come forward this morning. They wear yellow tags, and I think they're here. Prayer partners. Why don't you come forward, okay? Yeah. They do a great job. They're always there, always willing to pray with you. Just come forward, okay? Please. Great. These are people who love the Lord, who walk with the Lord, and would love to pray with you. And I will come down as well, okay? Let's do the following. We're going to sing in a moment Amazing Grace. How many know the song Amazing Grace? Okay? But yeah. And I would ask you, just come forward. Maybe you want just to kneel on these stairs and pray by yourself. Maybe you want to know about how to receive Jesus Christ, the grace in Jesus Christ. Talk with us. You can come to me. If you want to pray about something specifically, these dear people are here to pray with you. Don't be afraid. In fact, let's all stand, okay? Why don't you come forward now and just let God bless you by coming forward and praying with people who love you and want the best for you. Open up to God's grace. Come on forward as we sing. Come on forward right away, okay? Come forward. Don't worry if you're on the top. Just come on down. That's right. That's fast. Come on down to the front.